Yeah. Yeah. And as extreme as you can, a lot of times when I do role play, I ask them to be extreme patients. This patient has every concern in the world. They don't have time. They're afraid. They have a bad dental history. They're coming from another practice. They have every negative quality that we could ever see in a new patient. And let's turn this patient around. Let's look at some of the language that we're going to use, what this tour is going to look like for this person. And that really, it becomes a lot of fun, but again, we're exploring what should be done in a normal everyday setting by role playing an extreme setting.
Okay. And then you're talking about from the moment they come in, the clipboard shove, if they have that, the greeting, and then the tour. And you mentioned showing people where the restrooms are and then actually giving them a tour of the office and introducing them to everybody. Is that
absolutely
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's...
I think that, again, you know, key roles, watch the language that you use, and introductions are really important. When you seat me, okay, some of the other things to enhance my experience, one of the most pleasant experiences, and I have to give him credit, Dr. Richard Plash, over in Hayward, California, one of the most enjoyable as a patient experiences I had, was with a hygienist named Cara. And I walked into Cara for the first time for my hygiene appointment and my introduction into the practice. And Cara had so many comfort items for me, including a heated pillow that she put under my head. Asked me if I was cold and I needed a blanket. Had a soft pad under between me and the chair. I mean, it was asked me if I wanted headphones to listen to music. I'm really not exaggerating here. It was an absolute delightful experience. It was wonderful to meet her, see her smile, and be pampered. And I got to tell you, that blanket just—it still speaks to me. I want to tell every. I moved a lot around the country, and every practice that I go into, I say, "Get a blanket. Get something that you can cover people in."
You know, it never occurred to me as you're talking that the importance of these things. I don't know. You could go on and on about them. Some people do massage chairs. Some people do wax. Some people do, you know, obviously just something as simple as beverages in the office. That what they really do is they show a patient that you care about them as a person.
Absolutely. And that really is the, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about from that very first question. Tell me about yourself. You care about them as a person. That's what I need to know. I know that you're going to do your job. See, that's what we're not getting here. I know you're going to do your job. Mm-hmm. You're open. I know there's some kind of state control over you. I know
right.
You've been certified. I saw the degrees somewhere along in my process. I saw, you know, I know that you're a dentist. Okay. I know what you do there. So if you can get me out of that and into taking care of me as a person, get me in that cozy, comfortable position as soon as possible, you're going to have better results. Okay. I'm going to like coming there. It just sounds so basic, but it's so true. It's just so true.
And I believe that a lot of the blockages people have are because they don't trust the dentist or they're afraid of the dentist. They don't trust the diagnosis. They're suspicious about the recommendations, and they know they're in no position to judge. I think trust is huge. The barriers are there that they won't tell you, well, I don't trust you. They'll just, no, they just won't, they won't accept. And I also believe that, you know, the other barrier that's there is fear. So how would your systems address those two major barriers?
Well, you know, this is where we get into the touchy-feely stuff, you know, and people really get scared, especially clinicians when they work with me, because, you know, I am your people. My job is to allow everybody to have a good time and feel comfortable. But this is the meat of a conversion issue. You know, you really need to acknowledge the patient's feeling before you begin treatment. The first question, I'm going to skip right through to the close here. When we get to financial arrangements, you know, because what we've done so far, of course, is we've talked about the movie and actually what the movie that we want to have, which is the movie of perfect dentistry. We've talked about the actors. We've talked about the setting. Now we're going to really begin on wrapping it up and getting to the point of that emotional connection. You know, the first question that your financial arrangement person needs to inquire after treatment has been completed is, how are you feeling right now? It's a real basic question. How are you feeling right now before you even think about money? How are you feeling right now? That is going to speak volumes okay? And a good financial arrangements person will hear that. Again, back to the personality types, a D personality is going to say, you know, I'm feeling great. You know, it's going to be really brief. I'm feeling great. Mm-hmm. And I personally is going to go, oh, I just love it here. You guys are so nice. And S personality is going to say, oh, you know, I was really amazed at how gentle Sally was. And a C personality probably shrug her shoulders and say, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. None of that, and again, realize that that is a commitment. That's not necessarily a negative issue, but that C personality is not going to be too soon to commit to anything. So once that's paid, once you pay attention to that, you know who you're talking to. If you don't know and you acknowledge what I'm feeling, you know, then you're not going to be able to tell me what I need. I can't tell you how many times I've been talked out of a sale. If someone had asked me what I was feeling, you know, I'm a bit scared, but I know I have to get this done.
Right.
You know, before they started to show me why I should have it done. Okay.
Right.
Before they did that, then they would have had a better chance. You know, there's that adage, you know, people want to buy, they don't want to be sold. And when I went to the dentist, I knew I was going to pay for something. Okay. I knew that. So I was prepared to buy something. I didn't know. But I don't want to be sold.
Well, I think the dentists believe that explaining in clinical terms and even in more everyday layperson's terms, if they explain the need for the dentistry, they then will sell the dentistry. That's their technique. They basically explain why something needs to be done, and they would expect that the person, the patient, will then accept the plan. What's wrong or right about that, in your opinion?
Well, again, there's a process here that I refer to as productive discomfort. Productive discomfort, I hope you've heard that term. It's also something that's very useful in conflict resolution process. It's something that I teach in team negotiations and how we can be better every day. That point of discomfort, again, I talked about the pinnacle, that in order for something to happen, there has to be a moment of discomfort because you've got to be willing to change. This is a human condition. You've got to be willing to change something. So we want to make that moment of discomfort, which is the moment of the unknown, okay, as brief as possible. And the way that you can do that, again, is acknowledge what I'm feeling before you get to what I need. What are you feeling right now? Again, conversations about what you're really looking for in your mouth and with this experience. Are you looking for function? Are you looking to have fun? Because that's a real cosmetics question. You know, how are your bright teeth going to feel at the end of this treatment? You're going to have so much fun. You're going to be able to go out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you feeling about what's going on? Then I can direct, here it is, what you need. Okay, and we've got to have that first point, because if you do that sooner than that, you're going to feel like my parents. Okay, you're going to start telling me, you know, I know you don't like vegetables, but you need to eat them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to make me like them less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
it's
you
right.
Know, again, talk to me about. I understand that you're uncomfortable with eating your vegetables. Is there a way that I could prepare them or cook them so that you would like them better? What do you need to see? Because listen, let's both agree: if you don't eat these vegetables, you can't be healthy. And I want you to be healthy. That's what I'm feeling. It's that level of connection that we're really looking for.
Let's say. There's some amalgams, recurrent decay around amalgams, pretty common situation. You know, and the dentist is presenting, it could be redoing the amalgams, or perhaps if it's severe, something more on the inlay, onlay, or crown. But so a patient doesn't have any symptoms, it's asymptomatic, and the dentist is seeing this very clearly, this decay going on, and it's very important. How do they build the trust so that the patient will then agree to the treatment?
A great question. I would simply ask the patient, how do you feel about your teeth right now? How do you feel about them? Well, I think they're just fine. I mean, I don't know. I've had treatment. I feel they're, they're just fine. Real common response. At that point in time, the doctor needs to say, would you like to continue to feel that way about your teeth?
Hmm.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, guess what? I do too. here's what needs to happen in order for you to continue to feel great about your oral health, about your teeth, about the condition of your smile, however you are framing it. Okay, here's what you need to do. I want to avoid decay. I want you to be able to keep your teeth, don't you? I mean, it's real simple.
Of course.
Look in the right eye, lean forward, talk to them as a person. Don't lean back into your coat. Don't hold an instrument when you're saying this. You want to look directly at me. Lift my head. Don't make me lie down and behind you because that's very imposing.
I see.
Lift my head. Talk to me as a person. Let me know that you are interested in my best interest and that you understand what I'm feeling, which is, let's face it, I want to keep my teeth. I want to be healthy. I want to look good. That's why I'm here. Show me how. Ask me if I want to go there. Really, very, very simple.
Well, I think that's respectful, too, because you're not judging me or telling me what I should or have to do. You're asking me what I want, and you're showing me your opinion about how I can continue getting what I want, and you're leaving it to me.
Yeah, I really am. And, you know, and I really can't emphasize, again, the importance of this body-physical connection. I kind of flopped over it. You know, lift my head, make me an equal. You know, look into my eyes. You will be able to see how long a person can connect with your gaze, okay? And that will tell you their level of comfort. If they have to look right away, then slow down. Slow down. Go back in, okay? Go back in. And I know people hate to see this, hear me say this, but you know what? You might not get that treatment signed, sealed, and delivered in that first appointment.
Right.
You just might not.
Right.
But if you built that relationship, remember, your goal is to get me to want to come back.
Right. Right. You're working
you
on the second visit. You're working on the next visit. Yeah. That's true. That's right.
Really important.
Well, I think a really big mistake that dentists make is presenting too much. And there's, especially on a new patient exam, there's always a temptation to explain all the issues that they see. And I know, you know, dentists will learn quickly that that doesn't work. But how do you have suggestions, concrete suggestions for that to help eliminate that as an issue?
And I run into this all the time. Again, think back to why are you telling the patients that? Why are you giving the patients so much information? There's a point in the classic sales profile or sales conversation where a salesperson needs to stop talking. They need to stop talking. It's like, I you know, what is that? I think it's from Jerry Maguire when Renee Zellweger said to him, "You had me at hello." Okay.
Right.
He's selling her on why they should be together and why the relationship and what it means to him. And she just stops and goes, "You had me at hello. I was sold. I'm ready."
Right.
And we have to be really aware that very often we're afraid to look for the hello. Hello, I'm ready to go. And we keep talking from our own insecurity. So physically taking a pause is really important. After you are able to share, here's what I think you need. Okay, here's what I think you need to continue feeling this way. Or here's what I think you need to feel better. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. You present that and then be quiet for a moment. The classic sales model says, well, then they'll say, yeah, let's go ahead. But what it does more importantly, it allows you to check in with your ego. Are you giving me so much information because you're proving to yourself that you know how to do this? That's a real tough one. We're dying to share with people how smart we are and how hard we've worked and how confident we are and how we are the right person to do this. We're just dying to sell that. And once we do, then we've really lost connection with the patient. So that's really a critical piece. But, you know, going back to the whole appointment, you know, the doctor, it's very important that the doctor has 3 points that are really, really critical to his success here.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to make sure that that first phone call and the first minute in the office is appealing in a big way to the prospective patient, in a big way. There's nice offices out there, and there's wow offices. You want to be a wow office. Do what it takes to get there. The second thing, of course, that we visited was examine the flow of that first visit from reception to presentation. And then the third thing is get your team on the same page with you. Get your team understanding that this is a person, that you will take care of your team. You expect your team to take care of your patients in the same manner.
Hmm.
So important.
Hmm. I want to open this up to some questions if we have some. And what you need to do when you have questions is, I think you can hit 1-1 on your, yeah, I'll just see if I can. I think if you hit 1-1, you'll be able to ask questions. And I'm going to unmute some of the lines here. So if somebody has some questions, they could jump in if they want to. So I've unmuted folks, so if you have a question, you can get in there, and I think that would be very nice if you have a question. Does anybody have a question to ask Kathy at this instance?
Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your
Kathy,
first name?
Flash. I just want to thank you for the nice compliment you said about Kara.
Ah. Hi, Dr. Plash. Yeah, it's just wonderful to be able to offer her as an example in your practice.
Yeah,
I hope you'll pass that on
to her. She
has
really set a standard in my office, so she was a hard act to follow.
Yeah. I said to you, she's the gold standard. She's the gold standard, and I keep on waiting for other dentists to offer people a warm blanket.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then we had another question, I believe. Okay. Well, let's continue with this. I think this is very, very interesting. And if you have a question, you can feel free to jump in and ask a question. That would be fine, and we'll take your question. Kathy, one thing that we were talking about before that we kind of skipped over is the confirmation process. And I think that's very important. So maybe we could have a few words about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for bringing that up. On confirmation process is very valuable. We know we love email. It's important to ask at the appointment, however, if you can email, does that work for that person? If you can email a response. I think in the era of spam, people subscribing for too many newsletters, you don't want to seem to be an annoyance. I think that being said, most people will say, yeah, please email me. If you were talking to me, yeah, please email me because that's going to be the easiest way for me to keep track. Of course, the phone call reminder is the classic model. Everybody does that, but I have a real gripe about that too. It's the 24-hour phone call reminder. You know what? For me, that does nothing because I'm busy. Okay, and if I have somehow made a mistake and not taken that little business card with my appointment on it, taken it home, sat at my computer, put it into my computer, put a reminder on it, again, I'm busy, then the chances of me making it on time or to that appointment get greatly reduced. I don't miss appointments as busy as I am, but if I didn't have you in the calendar and now I got to get you in the calendar 24 hours away, you suddenly have become a nuisance to me. It suddenly is, I have to go to the dentist instead of I want to go to the dentist. So phone calls, if you're using phone call reminder, you start at 2 weeks. 2 weeks out, a gentle reminder. 10 days out, 3 days out. And that's the way, that is what has to be done in a phone reminder. We're just too busy. Ask people for their cell phone number, but don't necessarily call them. Text has become more and more popular. I love my little bell ringing text reminders from my doctor. This is really key. If it is a new patient, before we even get to confirming an appointment, if it's a new patient, we need to send thank you notes. And this is not a form letter from the doctor, okay? This is a handwritten note from the clinical team member that treated or was with the patient. If it was your hygienist, it is a handwritten note, preferably on a card, not a typewritten piece of stationery, on a note card. Get yourself a bunch of note cards printed, doctors, please. Put your logo on the outside and leave the inside open so that you can write handwritten notes and so that they're accessible. Front desk got to have a stack by their right hand that they can use. These are what I call, beyond confirmation, these are coaching the patient to hold the appointment. And what's going to happen? Here's how they do it. So handwritten notes. So a multi-pronged approach, your phone, your email, possibly text, a handwritten note. these are really going to ensure, give you a higher result. Now, remember, once that new patient shows up, it becomes easier to confirm appointments down the road. It also becomes easier to get treatment confirmed. But you got to get them in the door. You just got to get them in the door.
For a lot of the patient visits, the hygienist will sometimes be a key actor here. In your system, do you have advice for dentists as far as how to work with their hygienists to increase trust and decrease the barriers that we were talking about?
Well, a lot of practices that I work with, the hygienist does just about everything. And I know doctors are going, how does that work? But the hygienist, again, I'm going to take that from you. She's the one that's creating the bond. She's proving to me that it's going to be pain-free. She's provided for my comfort. She's also made observations, some very good observations. She's the one that's made the observation of staining. She's made the observation of, ooh, gee, I'm going to have the doctor check and make sure that amalgam is still holding up and you don't have any possible decay under there. She has pointed out to me some things that she has seen that she's going to point out to the doctor. So that by the time the doctor steps into the operatory, all that needs to be said is, you know, I've been working with Kathy here. She is just delightful, by the way, Dr. Plash. I'll use that for Richard. You're just really going to love her. I've noticed these things, and we've already talked about these. The doctor leans over, checks them out, and agrees. Basically agrees.
I see.
And says, you know, this is going to be really great. How are you feeling about that? Well, at that point in time, I'm saying, it sounds like this is something that I need to get done. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. Jenna will stop with you. Well, we'll get you set here and then escort you out to Susie out at the front desk, and she'll be able to schedule that next appointment for you. And it really becomes just that simple. We want the doctor's mileage to really be in his hands, not in his mouth. And I know that sounds crazy, but you've hired all of these wonderful people. You've developed their skills. They've set the image from you. Let them run with it. Let them own that. Pay them, respect your team enough so that they can use their skills to the highest level. And that's really what you want to.
So the hygienist is really going to be making all these observations, and the trust is usually very high with a hygienist. They spend the most time at chairside with a patient, and they have the bubbly personality quite frequently, and they're the major way that a patient often judges the practice with a hygienist. So then the doctor's visit is very short, and the doctor is just validating mostly what the hygienist said. Obviously, if the doctor finds other things, we're not talking about any clinical situation like that. But in terms of just case acceptance, you're saying that the doctor doesn't have to do a whole lot other than validate what the hygienist has already said.
Absolutely. 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 And a lot of people work with, larger practices work with what they call a patient care coordinator. And again, this is the patient's advocate, takes care of that first visit, taking all the information, getting the impressions, creating comfort, and either handing off to the hygienist they're going to visit today or taking care of that first appointment, letting the patient know that there will be another person taking care of them down the road, and that can be done, by the way, gracefully. I hear that often too. Well, I get, you know, Barb is my greatest hygienist, and that's all, that she's the only one that people want to see. I beg to differ, and there's a whole process around that. But in any way, if you can think of even the smallest practice, if you have one hygienist, think of that hygienist as a patient care coordinator. She is going to coordinate what the dentist is going to do, what type of treatments are going to be done, and how this patient is going to proceed through your practice for just the perfect oral health, which, you know, let's face it, that's the ultimate goal, is you need to make me feel good about, you know, being in the world. And if it's just as simple as affirming how smart I am to take care of myself early in the process, boy, that speaks volumes. I don't have very many people telling me how smart I am every day.
What about finances here? I haven't heard you talk about finances, Kathy. At this, what point does money come up? Sometimes the patient's going to ask, well, what does that cost? Or maybe they don't ask, but they're thinking about it, and it's kind of going through their mind, and they're not even hearing anything because they're worrying about the price. I know this is how it works with people. Where do the financial arrangements come in and discussions of money?
Well, again, if you've done your groundwork right up front and telling me, laying out the benefits for me, making me feel that I've heard, and saying, this is what you need to continue feeling great or to feel better, okay? But again, initiate it with my feelings and tell me what I need, then I'm going to be far more receptive, okay? If you present it from a clinical hard science, I'm going to be far less receptive because, of course, I expect you to say that. You know, you're the dentist. Of course you're going to tell me that I need to do thousands of dollars of work. And, by the way, work, that's a nasty word in the practice. Never, ever use the word, you have to have this work done. I don't want to come to the dentist to work. I work every day. I want to go to the dentist to be taken care of. So, again, reaffirming that point allows you to segue into the financial conversation. So what we always want to do is we want to present, this is what we've observed, here's what you need, you are going to feel great, here's when we can do that. So you'll go right to the schedule first. Then you're, once you've got all those pieces done, you've moved me along through the process. Because again, I'm your new patient. I want to know what you're going to do, how's it going to happen, and then I want to know what it's going to cost. I know people get afraid and they want to lay out the money first, but that's just not really the way it works. Think of the worst selling scenario in the world in most people's, you know, minds, but they're very effective. They sell costs. They sell you on the looks, on how it feels. They get you sitting in the seat before they even talk about money or start negotiating on the sticker. And that's exactly what you want to create here. Create that comfort. Get me in the seat. Get me scheduled. Get me ready to go. And then say, we have some options. We have some options for you. Paying today, we offer you this discount. We have care credit. They will finance you. We have whatever your financial arrangements are, you're able to present them at that point. And then the important thing, I started out this conversation today when you asked me, why don't most people convert to cash paying on the line patients? Because we don't ask them to. We don't ask them to. Don't lay those financial arrangements out there without saying to me, how would you like to start today?
And I personally like the word take care of this, or I like to avoid using words like pay. That's
very good.
Yeah, but I think the also I really like practices that are cash pay and prepayment. I think that's very helpful, and I believe that one easy way of asking is an alternative choice. We have two ways for you to take care of this visit. You know, one way is with care credit, which is very simple. Another way would be that we accept credit cards or a check. How would you like to take care of that? And then it's an alternative choice, which is a get the decision. And oftentimes we'll get much better results than anything else.
I think if you really do believe, Richard, if you really do believe that this is in the best interest of the patient, they'll get that.
Right.
They'll get that. Don't
right.
Don't you agree with me on that?
Yeah, that's really the big thing. It's an intangible, but it's the biggest thing of all.
Yeah, they'll get that, and they will pay for that. They will pay for that. So I want to take away that fear from the patient. Your job here is really to convince me that you care about me and my well-being.
Yeah.
There's tricks to the trade. There's way that you
right.
can do that. There's way that we can collaborate to do that. But that's really the most important thing. I will prepay you. I will do whatever it takes if I believe that you can.
So well, let's spend the remaining few minutes here, Kathy, talking about how we can enhance the experience that the team working with each other to show that they care, because I think if the team is very happy working together as a team, I think you've told me this many times, that will come across to the patient and may be the most important thing. What are some of the things they can do, maybe in terms of incentives, bonuses, meetings? I know we don't have much time, but if you could give us a few pointers that we could take away, that would be greatly appreciated.
Great. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about meetings here. Meetings need to be really perform a function, not be an obligation. And all of us have had an experience of having our time wasted in a meeting. There's different types of meetings, but the most important one, I think, is certainly the daily huddle, where we orchestrate the day, where we figure out who's coming in, what we learned on the phone call, what type of personality is in this, who is this person coming in, a little bit about their history, especially for the new patient. We need to really review that. It's the yesterday, today, and tomorrow principles that should be visited in every meeting, but really in looking at today, we want a profile of everybody that's walking in the door. So that's a really a key part. And when we talk about incentives and motivating the team, again, there's many things we touched on here. Richard, that's a whole another phone call. But doctors really want to know, what about bonuses and incentives? We, in VIP leadership, the members, we have spent a lot of time discussing bonuses and incentives, and we've designed several several ways to do this. But if you can think in terms of incentivizing your team, a bonus can become part of reliable, predictable income for your team member that they can start budgeting around their bonus. When you can set up a system where they can do that, you're going to have higher results. So through that, you might set up a series of games. You're always looking to emphasize a specific type of treatment. If your practice is specializing, and I use the specializing term loosely here, or emphasizing, better word, on implants or sedation or developing an Invisalign segment of your practice, these are areas where you can create games for your team members, and the games will reward them for each case that closes, and you can, in these games, you can play with scripts, and you can play with role-playing, and you can create ways of diagnosing that enrolls and engages everybody. There's very, very specific scientific ways that this can be done. I've watched many, many, many people in the last, you know, in the last 2 days of the of practicing of the month just blast right past their deficiencies over the top to their monthly goal. They're also, of course, you have to know what your monthly goal is. Every practice has to have a blueprint. I'm really firm on that. What are the days that you're going to work? What's the volume that you anticipate doing? Don't be afraid of the goal, and don't be afraid to look at it every day. That is the critical. You want to make goals and put it in front of everybody every day at that huddle. Just by looking at it, you're going to reach it. I can promise you, everyone on this call, if you were to begin on Monday putting the daily goal in front of everybody, putting the monthly goal on it, and telling everybody what's in it for them when you reach that goal, and then look at it for 5 days in a row, you will see a 10% increase in your production.
Wow.
And that's money in the bank to you. You can call me and prove me wrong, but I'm betting right here that you're going to find that true.
And
we're
wrapping up, but I will say we have a special offer that we're going to be making that's going to allow people who are interested in this to get that 10% increase in a very short period of time with a program that you put together, Kathy. And we'll email all the folks about that sometime in the next few days after the call.
Yeah, we will.
Good.
Yeah, we will.
Well, this has really been very helpful. I can't believe how valuable it's been. I mean, you are such an expert, and there's so many other things that I know I would love to ask you. You know, like we could do a whole series of these calls. You have so much to say. It's amazing. I just want to thank you so much for being here and being able to do such a wonderful presentation for our people.
Well, thanks so much, Richard. And I really hope that the takeaway for everyone, because there was a lot of information, I hope that the takeaway for everyone is don't be afraid of soft science to achieve your desire to practice hard science. The skills that you use in building your relationships with one another is really what gives you value on the planet. And that's what people are going to talk about long after you're gone, is how the people that you cared for and how you were able to build that relationship. Hang on to that, and you can learn it.
Wow.
Take your time.
Well, I want to thank everybody very much for attending this call.